is Debbie Gagish with the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to WRMR Revenue Marketer Radio. Twice a month, we meet to talk to a real revenue marketer and learn tips and tricks on how they made that transition from being a traditional marketing organization to a revenue marketing organization. And it's more than just listening. This is an interactive show, so please feel free to call in or chat, and we're happy to include you in the dialogue. Now, before I introduce today's guest, I want to take a moment to define the term revenue marketing. Basically, revenue marketing is the process of transforming marketing from being a cost center to a revenue center. Now, that is something that every B2B marketer is feeling accountable for revenue or for some type of financial metric. And revenue marketing is that discipline to help you achieve this financial accountability. Now, every revenue marketer on this show is on the revenue marketing journey, and they're here to share with you what works, what does not work, and their own gotchas or their hidden roadblocks on the journey. Now, I am so pleased to announce today's guest. I know I always say that, but I really am very happy to have Michelle Shintera with us today. And I've known Michelle for, gosh, I guess it's going on 4 years now. And I've had a front row seat to this revenue marketing journey that Cisco has been on. So let me give you a little bit about her background, and then we'll bring her onto the show, and because I know you want to hear what she has to say. So Michelle is the senior partner in U.S. commercial marketing at Cisco. And when I say that she's an expert in many aspects of business, I really mean that. She is both Cisco's channel, she runs the channel partner community, and she knows that the right investments in key areas, such as marketing, can help her company and all of her partners really grow and surpass their goals. With her knowledge of the market and how to drive business growth through revenue marketing, she and her marketing organization really empower the entire Cisco, at least for the U.S., partner community through innovative marketing strategies and proven sales generation techniques. And does she have a result? You bet she does. Her team led in 2014 $1.1 billion in sales qualified leads. So revenue marketing really has had a major effect at Cisco. Some of her other key accomplishments have been building a partner marketing engagement model for all the Cisco's top performing partners, and in creating a marketing council platform to drive stronger partner relationships and marketing experiences. And both of these items have really driven increased partner marketing engagement and loyalty. And that says a lot in a hyper-competitive space like Cisco finds themselves in these days. In addition, and this is the part that just tickles me, she's played a core role in deploying revenue marketing at Cisco, which again has driven greater marketing accountability and really has elevated marketing as a function. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Debbie. Very excited to be here and talking about my absolute favorite topic, revenue marketing.
Oh, I just love that. So why don't we start by telling us a little bit more about your role in the company and what you're accountable for?
Well, thank you for the kind introduction, and you did cover a few aspects of what I'm responsible for. But essentially, in a nutshell, my team, both on the partner marketing side as well as on the U.S. commercial side, is focused on driving demand, programs, and initiatives that help both our partners and our Cisco sales reps be successful in growing Cisco's market share and ultimately achieving our goals. Probably the common denominator in all of this is that each of these individuals are held accountable to driving X amount in sales qualified leads, depending on where they sit in the respective organization. And just to put that into context, you mentioned our last fiscal year, we generated $1.1 billion in SQL. This year, we've upped the ante, and our team is accountable overall for $1.7 billion in SQL. And what that essentially represents, when you think about it from our sales and our partner organization's perspective, it's about 15 to 20% of our overall sales goal. So clearly marketing, particularly in the commercial space as well as within the partner organization, is playing a key role on this revenue marketing journey.
So what I really like about your story, Michelle, is that, you know, a lot of companies have channels, and channel represents a large part of the overall revenue mix of an organization. That's certainly true at Cisco. But being able to really take the concept of revenue marketing and extend it out to a channel, I think a lot of companies find very, very challenging. So maybe you could start by telling all of our listeners a little bit about your revenue marketing journey and how that evolved into this incredible work that you're doing with the channel.
Yeah, well, you said it. We met about 4 years ago, and that's actually when we kicked off our revenue marketing journey. And what we did is we took a step back and we said, how can we within Cisco be competitive in the partner community? Sure, we can hand them more dollars or give them additional programs or offers, but we really wanted to differentiate ourselves. And we wanted to align ourselves to what was top of mind for our partner marketers. And one of the biggest challenges that they had was gaining buy-in from their executives on investing in marketing. When you look at the Cisco channel historically, you typically have engineers or people that leave the likes of Cisco or Avaya and go stand up these resale companies. They're not building it from a marketing platform. So we needed to shift their mentality. And as you always say, it's about shifting marketing from being perceived as a cost center to being received as a revenue center. And that was actually our intent when we decided to embark on our revenue marketing journey with our channel. We also took into consideration that our customers are not buying the same way they purchased 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. We need to look at how marketing can play a significant role in that first part of that customer journey. That's where we could add value. That's where we could make the argument for our partner businesses to make a deeper investment in marketing. So we started out by enabling our partner marketers to talk about this concept of revenue marketing. And we put a training curriculum in place, working in partnership with the Pedowitz Group, to teach our partners all the aspects of revenue marketing and how to implement it in their business. And these ranged from strategy to what technologies were needed, the processes that you needed to put in place to drive true sales and marketing integration, the right kind of content, the talent you needed, and ultimately what it is that we needed to measure. Well, this was a huge win for us because not only were we enabling our partners to be better marketers, but we were adding value in the industry that no other manufacturer was adding value in. And what we did, because we wanted to make this something that was meaningful, personal to our partners, is we said, you know what, we're not only going to educate you, but we're going to test you. Now, I'm sure some of the listeners on the line here are laughing and saying, what's motivational about being tested? But what I would say is once that test is passed, that particular partner marketer receives a revenue marketing badge of honor. They're able to take that, put it in their signature, leverage it to show credibility in social forums or even within their own companies. So we built credibility and we empowered our partner marketers to start this revenue marketing journey with us.
To this day, Michelle, I don't know of another company like you who is actually offering a revenue marketing certification. And I can't believe that because it's been 4 years since you began that initiative and I was right there with you. And to this day, I know of no other company that's saying we're going to train you, teach you, work with you, help you be better marketers, and we're going to certify you in that. So you guys were really very early thought leaders in this space. And just again, congratulations to you guys for that thought leadership. And it's just a shame that more companies aren't doing that today.
Yeah. And what I would just add to close that out, Debbie, is when I take a look back at where we were 4 years ago and where we are right now, and in fact, we're getting ready to go to our partner summit next week, the conversations that we are having with our channel, particularly at the C level and within the marketing organization, has completely changed. We're talking about how to make investments to leverage marketing to drive the cost of sale down, how marketers can play a bigger role and be more accountable for generating X in pipeline or X in closed business. We're no longer talking about, hey, I need $500 to run that event, or can you help me fund this telemarketing campaign? We've elevated it to a much more strategic level, and it's paying off in all aspects of our partner's business.
That is just amazing, and I want to revisit that for just a moment, because I think a lot of companies that run large channels and have a large part of their revenue actually come from channel. You know, it's the endless story of, you know, we're investing in these partners and where is our money going? And you're right, it's just give me more money, I need to run an event. Give me more money, I need to run a webinar. And really, there's just zero visibility to what's going on there. And so for Cisco now to be talking at the C level across their partner organization and talking about how you can help, you know, drive down the cost of sale, how you can help their marketers become more accountable for pipeline and close business, and that you're doing that as a partner, has to be creating some competitive differentiation for you in the market. Are you seeing that?
It absolutely is. Like I said, the conversations have shifted. We've been able to influence how dollars are spent within our partners. And ultimately, it's allowing us to show up differently. We are not just there to help them sell Cisco. Ultimately, that's our end goal, but we're there to help them become better marketers. And I always say this internally. It's a very simple equation. Better marketing equals better leads equals more sales. And if we make the investment to help our partners be true revenue marketers, we are both going to win at the end because we're doing the right things to make the biggest impact.
I think that's absolutely true, and it sounds like such a simple equation, yet, you know, again, I want to give kudos for Cisco for being so, you know, ahead of the market. Well, let's kind of go back to your journey. You know, we had talked a little bit about the investment that you made in training and education and how you really were working to enable your partner marketing organization. Can you tell us a little bit more about the programs that you started 4 years ago and how those evolved?
Yeah, you know, it kind of goes back to the basics, Debbie. When we first entered our revenue marketing journey, we did start with the channel. And it started to bubble up fairly quickly because here we're seeing some of our larger partners make these strategic investments. And Cisco's looking at our partners and saying, hey, we've got to jump on that bandwagon. So we were really inspired about what our partners were doing, and we decided as a company that we were going to make a commitment. You know, very oftentimes as marketers, we tend to lean on the big, shiny, sexy object. And actually, what we did around revenue marketing within Cisco was not sexy at all. It was actually about getting very grounded on setting a goal, getting Cisco's broader marketing community together and agreeing on one plan and one goal to drive after. Now, that seems like it's pretty basic, but it's actually not in reality, because very oftentimes we reward ourselves on achieving our goal, which we're very proud of what we achieved in 2014 and ultimately what we'll achieve this year. But what it was about was bringing the team together, agreeing on a common process, and ultimately executing against it. Now, that came with some resistance, without a doubt. This was a change in how we actually operated. This was programmatically different from what we had done in the past. And when people
just to clarify, so now we're talking about Cisco's own revenue marketing journey, not what you had done for the channel. Okay, perfect.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it actually, Debbie, it ties in very closely to the channel because a lot of the leads that we generate or a large portion of the leads that we generate actually get passed to our channel partners because that's the primary route to market. So anything we do within the walls of Cisco to improve on our revenue marketing journey is going to have direct impact on our channel.
So, again, you know, the strategy I thought was really cool. So, you know, everyone got acclimatized around what is this revenue marketing thing. All of the channel partner began to have significantly different conversations with them. And then, of course, were inspired by what your channel was doing. And then you also began to create leads that would go into the system. So that's kind of where we are in the story.
Absolutely right. And it was about getting those technologies, those processes in place so we could actually deliver against that, whether it was directly to the channel or to our direct selling organization. And I will tell you, a company the size of Cisco, to bring a marketing community together and agree on one common goal and one common plan That is a major undertaking. But the success in doing all that was not around putting the plan together. It was ultimately how we got the plan to ground. And that was, you said it earlier in the conversation, looking out across our channels, looking at the various aspects of our business that are going to make this successful. We could not build this in a silo. We had to build this for Cisco and for all the various touch points, primarily our channel partners, to make this a success.
Again, I think it's just an amazing story, and I want to echo something that you said, Michelle, and that is the power of one. It's the power of getting everyone on the same page, getting everyone grounded around one goal, even though it was a significantly different goal, because if I'm not mistaken, 2014 was the first year that marketing actually had a number that they had to hit. Is that right?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And everyone in marketing was held accountable for that, not just a single team.
So let's talk about what that change management was like.
It was a lot of change management. It was taking the team and putting them in a different mindset and really using the same level of education that we leveraged for our partner community. The marketing organization within Cisco had to think differently, had to think about being a key contributor to Cisco's financial success. That's not to say that we weren't doing that before, but we were never measured hard and fast on generating X amount of sales qualified leads. In order for us to be successful in doing that, we need to reach across the table and handshake with our sales organization to say, we're going to make this commitment. This is something that we're going to do on behalf of Cisco, and here's the process, the policies, all the details that need to fall in place. Very different conversation, going back to my early example, than saying, when do you want to host this event? How many customers do you want to have? How many people do we want in seats? The conversation was now, marketing's accountable for generating X in marketing qualified leads. Sales, you're accountable for doing these things, so we can ensure that we both collectively drive X in sales qualified leads. Yes, marketing held a goal, but our partnership with sales was incredibly important for us to achieve that. And we had to do the hard things like set SLAs in place. So we ensured that marketing was owning their piece of the pie, sales was owning their piece of the pie, and also our partners. We did the same exact thing with the channel. So getting our marketers to think differently was our biggest opportunity, yet it required education, it required inspiration, it required motivation, and we spent the last couple of years doing exactly that. And now it's a completely different mindset in the marketing team.
And I want to come back and revisit that different mindset, but I also want to ask you, when you take a look at the number of sales qualified leads that marketing is responsible for, what is the title that has the highest level of financial accountability on that number? How high does that go within Cisco?
Number is managed all the way up to our segment vice presidents within our field organization. This is something that we are reporting on a regular basis to our top-level sales leadership. Now, that conversation is obviously much higher level, but we get extremely granular down to the regional manager level, down to the partner sales leader level to talk about these are the leads that are in the funnel, these are the leads that are not being actioned on, this is your opportunity if you action on these leads. So we get extremely granular, but it's managed all the way up to the top.
I love that because, again, we know that if you don't have that executive advocacy at the top, these numbers, they simply will not happen. You've got to have that accountability. Then it has to roll down. It has to cascade throughout every single part of the organization. So that's a very, very good example for how you make that happen. So I want to go back to the before and after because I think a lot of folks who listen to Revenue Marketer Radio are always fascinated by where people started, where they are, and kind of how that transformation, you know, took place. And so I want to talk about a couple of sectors within Cisco and the Cisco partner. Give me a description of what it was like 4 years ago and what it's like today. We've talked a little bit about that, but I think this is a fascinating conversation. And the reason I want to do this is I want our listeners to understand that the revenue marketing journey is not something that happens overnight. regardless of the size of your organization. And I do think that the progress that has been made at Cisco in 4 years has been nothing short of stunning. Because again, to your point, Michelle, it's a large company, and to do that level of change is very challenging. So let's talk about the relationship that marketing, within Cisco had with the partners 4 years ago. What was that relationship like? How did you bring value to that relationship? And then how do you bring value to those relationships today, 4 years later, with revenue marketing?
Yeah, that's a great question, and something that I'm personally very proud of what my team has accomplished. So 4 years ago, we were budget managers. Here's how much money we have. That's the value that we bring. And ultimately, how do we spend those dollars and potentially get you access to more dollars? That was the perception that, candidly, I would say the partner community had when you looked across multiple technology manufacturers. In fact, a lot of our partners rely heavily on a manufacturer's budget to actually execute marketing 4 years ago.
Yeah, I found that out. That was kind of stunning news to me. We would be working with some of the Cisco partners, and literally almost 100% of the budget came from the manufacturers they were working
Absolutely.
With. So you're absolutely right.
Absolutely. And that was part of the challenge that we wanted to help them solve, is to get that executive level commitment to say, make the investment, people, time, and money. So 4 years ago, it was a very, very different type of engagement that my team and I had with our partners. Today, because of the investments that we've made in revenue marketing, we are having conversations around data and analytics, how to make better decisions using data. We've become far more sophisticated in not just leveraging the data within the four walls of Cisco, but enabling our partners to leverage it to ensure they're making the right investments. We're sharing best practices, industry best practices on how to manage process and policy around revenue marketing. The operational aspects are so critical, and very often they're not prioritized, but I will tell you that's an area that I believe today, as a marketer, we need to make the most investment. We are changing how we deliver content.
When you say operational, what do you mean?
Anything from lead management to defining metrics and dashboards, that business operations that helps keep this revenue marketing process continually flowing. It's critical.
I published a blog about a week ago called The Rise of the Marketing Operations Function, and I posted it as a long post because it's a long post. It's about 2,500 words. I got more views in that one long blog post than probably all my other long blog posts put together, and part of the reason was because I did interview 10 companies to do that blog post, but marketing operations as a hot. It is the topic that everybody wants to talk about. So I think you're spot on when you say it's an area that has incredible importance to the success of revenue marketing. So I would agree with that one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other example I'll share with you is content. Cisco has actually made a strategic decision to evolve how we are delivering content to our partners. We recognize customers are out in these digital forums self-diagnosing their problems, and we need to be present fast. It needs to be a nimble process. We don't have time, to go back to the mothership and gin up the best content that we think is going to get a response from the customer. We need that snackable content fast. Partners can pull down easily and dump it into these forums so they're present and they have a voice when those customers are going out and doing their due diligence. So the conversation has completely changed from being a bank to being a true trusted advisor. And I absolutely 100% believe our investment out of the gate, and I will admit, Debbie, we did make an investment in enablement and training. I don't know if we knew how strategic it really would be 4 years later. It is the platform for how we differentiate ourselves now and going forward. And we build on it every single day. Every single year, it's something that we continue to invest in.
I think that's awesome. And I think that, for you guys, clearly that journey began with everyone has to understand what the possibilities are, right? If you don't open their eyes to the possibilities, then you can't build champions, you can't build teams, you can't build momentum. And I think that's really what your training was able to accomplish. And you did that training around the globe. Is that right, Michelle?
We did. We absolutely did. Multiple languages, multiple geographies, and it continues to have arms and legs. It is something that has an ongoing shelf life. New partners come on board. As we add on new geographies that become emerging markets and relevant to growth from a Cisco perspective, we really use this as a platform to have that conversation.
So let me ask you about a different audience than the change 4 years ago and today. And those are the marketers at Cisco. How has their life as a marketer changed? What has it done for their career and for their development over the last 4 years?
Yeah, that's something that we really put a lot of emphasis on in Cisco, is developing and growing to keep up with the trends and ultimately how our function is changing and evolving. So I'm gonna answer this in a pretty simple way. It used to be that marketers at Cisco, they did a lot of great events. We hosted awesome parties, and we're very proud of it, because 4 or 5 years ago, that was top of mind for industry. And by the way, it's still part of the mix. But what our team is doing today is they are being true business advisors to our sales organization. And I'll tell you a quick story. Back when I was sharing, we did get some pushback when Cisco started to go down its revenue marketing journey around adopting a number and being held accountable and having it stamped on our head. I can remember one of the individuals on my team saying, "What's going to happen if we don't make the number? Am I going to lose my job? What's the end result?" And we said, you know what, this is our year to prove this thing out. Well, as you know, we blew it out of the water. We were highly successful last year. This year, that same person is asking, when can I get a number and be paid on it? So their mentality has completely changed. They want to be accountable financially for the success of Cisco. Sure, they're going to talk about great events and great digital marketing efforts and all the things that fall underneath that umbrella. That's part of what they do. But when they talk about their ultimate end goal, they're thinking, how am I going to be financially accountable for making Cisco successful? Complete mentality change.
I just got chills from that story. And, you know, I see that within marketers every day, because I work with a lot of different companies, and nothing makes me happier, nothing makes me prouder than to see this transformation of marketers, right? So it's not just companies that are going through transformation.
Right.
It's marketers and it's marketing careers that are also going through this transformation. And I think it's an absolutely wonderful place to be these days in B2B marketing. So I've got two questions left that I want to ask you about, Michelle. I'd like for you to give our listeners a little bit better understanding of the kind of training programs that you guys did. Was it face-to-face? Was it webinars? I mean, what kinds of things did you guys do over the last 4 years?
Yeah, it ran the gamut. As everyone listening knows, you can't satisfy everyone's communication needs. So I'll sort of start at the top. We host an annual event that we call Marketing Velocity, and we use this as a platform to introduce to our partner community new marketing techniques and new ways of thinking about marketing. It's inspirational. It's forward thinking. And we do a variety of things like keynote speakers and workshops, and the Pedowitz Group has, as you know, Debbie, been actively involved in this platform. Because we can't touch every partner in that forum, we also hold a series of webinars where it's a bit easier for a more of a one-to-many environment where multiple partners can attend, and we pick topics based on what's relevant for the business. We also do regional events where we empower our marketing people, and this goes back to giving them that credibility and being true advisors to our partners to host events, whether they're small roundtables or they are larger events in nature where we bring partners in and educate. We have playbooks. As I said before, we've got a certification and a badge. we've got multiple tools and multiple ways of educating our partners that has just become inherent in what we do, and it's the first step in any and all marketing initiatives that we roll out. Because like I said, if we can't get our partners thinking about better marketing equals more demand equals more sales out of the gate, any program that we roll out, oftentimes people will go to path of least resistance and tend to execute in the way that they're comfortable with. But if we can empower and inspire them on the front end in any and everything that we do, we know that we're going to change some behaviors, and that's going to result in pretty significant payoffs for both of us.
Again, I love your simple formula. Better marketing, better leads, more revenue. I think that's a great formula to remember for everyone who's listening to the show. The last question, Michelle, clearly the last 4 years have been an incredible 4 years for you and for the leadership that you have brought to Cisco on this revenue marketing journey. If you were talking to another executive at your level and they worked also with a large channel organization, and they said, Michelle, we're just starting this journey. What advice would you give me? What are two or three things that you would share immediately that you think would have the most impact on their success?
So one way I'll answer it is what I would encourage another individual like myself to do, and the other is probably a bit more practical and tactical. But I'll start with the first one. We are in a highly competitive environment. It is something that I know everyone on this call wakes up every day and asks, how am I going to be relevant to whoever I need to be relevant to, whether it's your sales organization or your partners or your customers. It applies to all. This is now the time that we need to take risks and really create distinction. When we started this revenue marketing journey, I will tell you, Debbie, I thought to myself, I'm either going to have a huge win here or I'm going to have to really do a lot of excuse making for the decisions that we're making. But it completely paid off because we took a risk. We took a risk based on our attempt at differentiating, creating clear distinction on who Cisco was and who we were going to be for our partners. So I think risk taking is absolutely key when you're jumping on this revenue marketing journey. The second piece, again, a bit more practical, and probably one of the biggest gotchas as it relates to the engagement with our partners and our sales organization, and it's having a common taxonomy. That was, if I was to reflect on our past 4 years, that's probably where we had a lot of stops and starts. Marketing uses a certain language, sales uses a certain language, our partners use a certain language. And one of the things that we did, again, pretty tactical, but paid off, is we put a playbook together so everyone knew what each other was saying. And I will be honest, it took time. It took us time to adopt this common language between sales and marketing and our partners. But where we are today, I do have a smile across my face when I hear a Cisco salesperson say the waterfall, or I hear a partner executive say we're measuring SQL, because I know that the work that we put into having that common taxonomy has paid off relative to having a consistent set of communications. And that is so important when you're adopting anything new, when you're changing behavior. So a common taxonomy would be my takeaway for this group. Just to get things started, it's critical to just get off on the right foot relative to communications.
All right, any other last? I mean, those are great. I love the one about risk taking. This is not the time to be a shrinking violet if you're in B2B marketing, because you know this whole notion of marketing being accountable for revenue, it's here and it's not going to go away. So I love your idea about risk taking. I also love your approach to the common taxonomy, and you're right. It sounds so simple, but it is incredibly important to do, and I've seen many companies have fits and starts based on not having a shared taxonomy. So any last words, yeah, Michelle, that you'd like to share with our listening audience?
You know, the only thing that I'll add, Debbie, is this has changed Cisco, this has changed our partners, it's changed me personally. I've been a marketer for going on 20 years, And I can tell you that this is the most excited I've been about my profession. And it's not just because it's fun and I get up every day excited about what I do, but I know that I'm making a tangible impact. And I firmly believe the adoption of revenue marketing is what drove this. So I hope my enthusiasm spreads across the audience, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this.
Thank you, Michelle, so much. I know you have so many things to do, and I really appreciate you being on the show. And for all of our listeners, if you couldn't join us, of course, these are available. You can download them from Revenue Marketer Radio. You can also get them from iTunes. So please, please listen to Michelle's story, because it is truly inspiring for all of you who are on this revenue marketing journey. And don't miss our next show. Kay Williams, the VP of Marketing at Exact, we'll be sharing some really interesting stories for how she was able to build a relationship with sales. And because the way she did it was not just handing off the SQL, but within her organization, they actually stayed with sales after it became an opportunity. And so marketing actually wound up having a much larger impact on sales than before. So thanks again, everybody. We really enjoyed you being with us today. Michelle, thank you for being on the show. And everybody, remember, it is a great day to be a revenue marketer. We'll see you next time.